general storytelling. Nor does it say to us, in the mists of time, there lived a giant called Finn McCool. And again, vague general storytelling. But here, as we read Luke chapter 2, it says to us, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So Dr. Luke, who is writing this gospel, is doing something very deliberate as he records these events. He is saying to you, and he is saying to me, that the Christmas story has a historical context. It's datable. It's taking place in space and time. These are real people, real events, real politicians, real rulers. And we need to grasp that. That's why it's framed in these terms, that this is not just a myth to keep us warm at this time of year with a warm glow inside us. These are historical events that are datable, that are real, that are researchable. Secondly, as well as this being a historical event taking place when Caesar Augustus was on the throne and whenever Quirinius was governor of Syria, this is also a royal story as well as historical. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. 1,000 years before Christ's birth, God had made a promise to King David that from King David there would be a descendant who would be the Son of God. And for those 1,000 years, God had preserved his people, the Israelites. Other nations had come and other nations had gone, but the Israelites had been preserved around this book. And they had been waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. And you remember at the time whenever Jesus was born, the wise men came. And they came asking the question in the city of Jerusalem, where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? They were looking for the King that had been promised in the line of David. So where is the one born King? And you remember at the end of Jesus' life, when he was crucified on the cross, what did the sign above his head say? The King of the Jews. At his birth, they were looking for the King. At his death, they were saying, behold your King. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. A royal story, a historical story, and lastly, it's a humbling story. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesus didn't come to show off. Jesus didn't come with a sense of entitlement. Jesus didn't come arrogant and ambitious. From the moment of his arrival, he was the servant king. And he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And being saved means that we humble ourselves before him. We let go of our pride and our self-importance, admitting we are sinners who need to be saved. That's where salvation is found, in our emptying ourselves and being filled with Christ. As the disciples said on Lake Galilee, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Save us, Lord, we are perishing. I wonder, do you have a sense about you this morning that on your own, where you're at, you're perishing? Save us, Lord. Save me, Lord, for I am perishing in my sins. So as I conclude, the Christmas story is no fairy tale or legend or myth. The story of Jesus' birth is historical, it's royal, it's humbling. But is it these things for you? Has Christ in history entered into your life? Have you submitted your life to him to live under his royal reign? And the sign of it is that you are a humble man, a humble woman, a humble young person who just wants to do the will of God in your life. That's what the birth of Christ means. For what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what the Lord is calling us to do. And that's the message of his coming into the world, that we would serve him, that we would give our lives to him, that we would have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this record of Luke's gospel and just how he just shows us so clearly the coming of Jesus in such a simple way and yet in such a deep way. Help us, we pray, each and every one of us in this meeting house today to know Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because, Father, we know this world is a troubled world. It's a messed up world. It's a sinful world. But we thank you that Jesus offers glory, healing, a place of no disease, of no crying, of no death. And we thank you that to be in him is to be in a place of safety and security and of salvation forevermore. And we praise you, Father, for our Savior, for who he is and what he has done for us, and how we come to him by faith and by faith alone. Hear us, Father, we pray, as we give thanks and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.